Good to see everyone this morning, and good to see some new faces. April, sick?
Sick.
Okay. Brenda, let's continue to remember Brenda. Buddy and Kathy's traveling. Don't know. Henry and Becky could care less. Sandy is downstairs, I guess. Jesse's downstairs. Pam's working the room.
I'm sorry, I missed anybody, good morning. It's so good to see you.
Good morning.
It is good to be back with everyone this morning. As you know, we're in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. We're talking about the churches, so if you would, turn to Isaiah 22. Isaiah 22. Got a lot to read, so if you would, just bear with me. I'm going to read as quickly as I can. Keeping this in mind, we're in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Philadelphia. Isaiah 22, honey.
22, I know. I got there. I've got me there. All right, here we go.
Isaiah 22. Now, I'm just going to read a few verses, end with this, and move on. Here we go. The burden of the valley of the vision. Now, if you were here on Wednesday night, that word burden should mean something to you. It's called the burden of the Word of God. And the word burden there just simply means doom or prophecy. So the reason it's translated burden is because that's heavy. You know, we got over the fact, in my opinion, you're entitled to yours. We're getting over the fact that pending doom and pending judgment is on its way. You say, well, Tom, I'm looking for the Lord. That means pending doom and pending judgment is on the way. God's not coming to save anybody, folks. You need to get that out of your mind. God's coming to collect His children and judge those who are not. It's not complicated. That's simple. His children are looking for Him. The world is not. That's why He says, I'm going to come on you as a thief in the night, and you won't know when I come, and it'll be too late when I get there, because I will be there. Now, so He says this, the burden of the valley of the vision, which aileth thee now, that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops. Thou art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thou slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All thy rulers are fled together. They are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from my... I'm going to paraphrase all that so you'll understand what I'm saying. In your own mind, you think you're okay. In your own mind, you think you're safe. Jump on over to verse 14. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity, that pride, that thing of we don't need God. We're good. Everything's okay. He says, and it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord God of hosts. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, get thee unto this treasurer, file that, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here? And whom hast thou here? That thou hast hewed thee out a sepulchre here, as he heweth him out a sepulchre on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in the rock. What he's saying is, what makes you think you're going to be buried here? No, you're taking an awful lot on yourself. You think you're okay. You think everything's hunky-dory. You've even said, well, this is where I'm going to be buried. But God had different words for him. Folks, listen. God's got the final say in all this. We better never get away from that. You know, it says this in the Bible. Don't say I'm going here or there. Say, if the Lord will. Don't be arrogant. Don't take God for granted. If you take one more breath, if I say one more word, it's by God. But these people hadn't learned that. Oh, they're getting ready to. Because he comes on down there and he says in verse 17, "Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captive." You think what you think, but I got news for you. It's not what you think. It's not what I think. It's not what you say. It's not what I say. It's what God thinks and what God says and what God knows. What was the one word we covered last week? Starts with an S and second layer is O and next layer is V. Sovereign. We must never forget God's sovereign.
Folks.
You know, there's a lot of talk about predestination. Oh, well, it don't mean this, but it does mean this. Well, predestination is nothing other than the sovereignty of God. If God wanted to declare me to hell and you to heaven, he's God, he can do it, and he'd be right. That's not what he did. He said, listen, if you'll come through my son, I'll predestinate you to heaven. If you reject my son, I'll predestinate you to hell, and there's nobody can change that. You say, Thomas, it don't say that. I'm sorry, I must have got ahead of myself. Let me read on. Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shall thou die. There shall the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house. And I will drive thee from thy station, and from the state shall he pull thee down. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will carry my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe. Shebna, you take too much to yourself, son. I'm going to take your robe, and I'm going to put it on somebody else. You know, Nebuchadnezzar finally figured that out. Mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was this great king of kings, and he was this great conqueror. He finally figured out God's the one that makes kings,
right,
folks. The big K is always in charge of the little K's. Make no mistake about it. And strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Now, when he says to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, who's he talking to? Starts with an I, next letter's S. Israel. Well, why does he say Israel and Judah in the same verse? Huh? Well, you remember there was another guy that took too much to himself. His name was Solomon. God gave him the most wisdom of any man alive. And he ruled. But towards the end, he took unto himself wives. And those wives caused him to do something. Those wives caused him to worship other gods. And God said, I tell you what I'm going to do, son. I'm going to take 10 tribes away from you. Because of your father David, I'm going to leave you two. But I'm going to take 10. And to this day, do you know how many tribes there are in Israel? Do you know how many tribes there are in Judah?
Two.
And do you know why in Revelation that it never mentions the two but the one? And when it does, it mentions not 10, but 12. Because God, when he restores Israel, is going to put them back how he first started them.
Right.
12 tribes.
Amen.
Not worshiping other gods. Worshiping him. File that now. Listen, I know you think I ramble. When it comes to the end, you're going to say, oh, I see. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll move on. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. It reminds you of a verse in Isaiah where he says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Folks, the day's coming when everything is going to be upon his shoulder. It all belongs to him. That's what makes him sovereign. Remember I told you about Shaquille O'Neal? You know, he's a rich guy, real rich. And his kids said, we're rich. And he said, what's this we? I'm rich. We better understand that, folks. My dad used to say this, you own the air you breathe. I own the air you breathe in this house. That's how he raised us. God owns the air you breathe. Mm-hmm. You remember Belshazzar? Mm-hmm. You remember he got the bright idea, didn't he? And then he saw the finger writing on the wall. And the finger said, boys, thy breath is in his hand. And if he does this, folks, everybody's gone. There's a song that says he's got the whole world in his hand. If he does that, you won't. You know how it is when you can't get any air. I especially know. God controls it. And it's his grace and his mercy that keeps it open. But one day, he'll close it. I know that's not popular, folks. I get it. What I teach every Sunday morning, not popular. A lot won't hear it. But I don't teach you anything but what this book says. Anything. It says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall. Anybody remember that verse? Oh, I think that's what it said over in Revelation 3. Unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy. Thank you. I knew y'all would get it. And he that is true. Yes. And he that hath the keys of David. Not death. He's going to preach later. He hath the key of David. Isn't that what that just said? He shutteth and no man openeth. He openeth and no man shutteth. You know what that means? He locks the door and there's not a person that can open it. But if he unlocks that door, there's not a person that can lock it. Why? He's sovereign. He's sovereign. It's his government. Listen, it's the same thing with salvation. He's opened the door to salvation. Nobody, no one can lock it. He says, and the gates of hell, that's my sister, shall not prevail against it. What was he talking about there? You know, to prevail, that means that hell is coming out towards us, right? No, don't. Jimmy, don't say yes. God, you're going to learn. God, this is some class I've got. What it means is this. When we go towards hell, they can't prevail. Why? Because the very one that opened the door, no one can close it. Listen, you can't be stopped from being saved. If you want to be. There's no one can prevent a person from being saved because the door is unlocked and no one can lock it. But what's the other side say? But he can also lock it. And no one can unlock it. What do you say to the antediluvian world? My spirit shall not always strive with man. For 120 years, Noah preached righteousness. It's going to rain. Destruction's coming. Matthew says, but they went around marrying and giving in marriage, just living every day like it's the same. Until it wasn't. And Noah and his family went in. And Noah shut the door. Oh, that's right. Don't say yes. because he's the one that opened it. And for 120 years, Noah couldn't have closed it. There wasn't a soul could have closed that door, because God in his grace and God in his mercy said, I'm going to spare you if y'all come in.
Right.
But once they rejected for the last time, he shut it. One of these days, whether it's on this earth or when time ends eternally, he'll shut that door, right, and that'll be it. Sometimes you go out a door for the last time, and God will slam it behind you. If you don't just ask any preacher that's preached for any number of time, they can tell you stories of where people grip pews. They used to grip pews back in the day, bless God, because they preached tail hot. But today we don't get much gripping. But they used to grip like that. And the preacher would ask them, please come. Don't leave. Don't leave. And they'd go out the door, and you wouldn't know, but a day or two later, they're gone. Why? God's sovereign. God tells you something, you better listen. You don't believe that, I'll show you. Look on over, if you will, at 65. Isaiah 65. Now, we got to hurry, because I ain't got time for you to say, Pam, wait till I get there either. I got to read. Are you there, honey?
No.
Okay. Isaiah 65. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me. Isn't that what God says every day? Look unto me and live. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Look to me and live. He says, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Who is he talking to?
Gentiles.
There you go. I knew Kevin, he's paying attention. Gentiles. This is the Gentiles here. He says, I call Gentiles who never even looked for me. Never even looked for me. They weren't called by my name. Israel, the children, the people of God. They weren't called by my name. But I said, look to me. Look to me. Wasn't that what Israel was called for to start with? They were to go out and tell the goodness of God so the Gentiles could be saved. But just ask Jonah. They hated Gentiles. That's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He's afraid they would get saved. Then he says, I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. Who's that?
Israel.
The reason he sent Paul to the Gentiles is because he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Let's read on. Verse 5. Which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day long. Anybody remember the story of the publican and the Pharisee in the temple praying? And the Pharisee said, oh, I give up my tithes. I'm glad I'm not like this guy over here. And it says all the publican could do was, oh God, have mercy on me. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went away right. That's what this is talking about, the pharisaical idea. We're holier than you. We're better than you because we're Jews. Remember that? He said, oh, we are our father Abraham. And Jesus said, oh, no. If you were of your father Abraham, you would
believe me.
Thank you. Kevin, you're sharp today. Did you take that medicine?
I did.
That's good. Did you give it to him, Doris? You and Doris on that same Geno Kenobly, I know. He said, no, you're say that. That's the one who did this, folks. That's the one who shed his blood to save people. He said, no, you're of your father, the devil.
The desires
of your father, you'll do. We can't lose sight. There's this crowd and this crowd. There ain't no this crowd. See, there's not a crowd in the middle. You're either on the left, I don't mean that politically, or on the right. Because I don't care about politics. I care whether you're right with God or not. If you're right with God, your politics be okay. I'm not worried about that. He says, because you know how I know that, don't you, Jimmy? It's in the Bible. You better be careful. I'll ask you where. Remember, he said, when he's going to divide out, and he puts the sheep on his, and the goats on his, there ain't nobody in the middle. You're either a sheep or a goat. You're either saved or lost, folks. There's no middle ground. And once you die, you've died lost, or you've died saved. That's not complicated, is it? With Christ, you're saved. Without Christ, you're lost. Being born again, you're being not born again, you're lost. That's what he's talking about in the Old Testament. It's the message has never changed from Genesis to Revelation. You will not see a different message. You might see different messengers. But if they're from God, I'll tell you this real quick. I was talking to my brother this morning, Dave, and he's got an ordination thing with a pastor's son. He's going into the ministry, and he's on the ordaining council or something, whatever that is. And so he says, first they eat, and then they'll come. And, you know, the young man comes before the three preachers that are there, and they question him, you know. And I can't keep my mouth shut. I wish I could sometimes. I said, I've got one question for him. He said, what's that? I said, did you get your message in Jerusalem or did you get it in the wilderness? That's what Paul said. Paul said, oh, I didn't go up to Jerusalem. I didn't go up there and get it from the religious crowd. I went into the wilderness and I came back with God's message. Wouldn't that make sense to you? I mean, I don't want to hear Nick if he got his message at Jerusalem. I don't want to hear Dan if he got his message at Jerusalem. I want to know if they've been to the wilderness. I want to know if they've been out there with just them and God. And God saying, well, thus saith the Lord. And they go get it. Now, I got to hurry. I got to hurry because I ain't got where I'm going. I'm going where I'm going, but I ain't got there yet. So he said, now we got this. Thus saith the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake that I will not destroy them all. Who's he talking to there? Oh, now old Kevin's opened his mouth a little quickly, hadn't he? I told him he'd taken that smart medicine, and now he's got himself in trouble. Now he's got himself in trouble. See, that's what they thought. Remember? That's what they thought. Because they were Jews, they were in. Well, no, he's just said, I hate you. I can't stand what you're doing. If you've been here on Wednesday night, you know, over and over we heard this thing, listen, I can't stand them sacrifices you're doing. You didn't do it to me. You did it for yourself. I hate that stuff. But here he's got a different message. He's got a blessing message. But that blessing's to a certain crowd. He says, and I will bring forth a seed out of... Oh, did you notice that? Who's Jacob? Israel. How many tribes? Well, and out of... How many tribes? Well, wait a minute. He's saying, I'm going to bless them all. I'm not just going to bless the 10 over here. I'm going to bless them all. That's what he's talking about. And in an inheritor of my mountains. If you make notes in your Bible, just put kingdom there and you'll know what mountain means. And mine elect shall
inherit
what? Yeah, the kingdom. Mine elect. Well, That's got to be talking about somebody else, don't he? Because I know he loves the elect. He's talking about the remnant of Israel. Remember what Paul said? All Israel shall be saved. All Israel. What does that mean? Every Jewish person alive today is going to be saved?
No.
No. Because Paul said it this way. You are not a Jew, which is a Jew outwardly. But you are a Jew, which is a Jew inwardly. Only those Jews that come through Christ, folk, are going to be saved.
That's right.
Only those Gentiles come through Christ going to be saved. That's why they're called the elect. You can put an S-E in front of that and what do you get?
Select.
Select. I'm helping you. Select. What does that mean? Okay, if I go to the grocery store, and I do with my wife, she wouldn't let me go on my own. Well, I don't get things on sale. I told you about that. If a coffee ain't on sale, I'm not drinking Dunkin'. If it's not on sale, I don't get it. She can't send me because she was that on sale. But we go and I like a certain milk. I don't care to tell you, it's in a blue container and it lasts longer. And I'm standing there, and we got all of these different milks, don't we? I mean, Mayfield, Garfield, all the fields. But if I want a certain one, what do I have to do? That's a good thing. I'll preach on that in just a second. I have to select. I have to select it. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God today, it's because God. You say, now, Tom, you're into predestination. Yeah. Yeah, I am. But how did I say he said he'd select you? Through his son. If you're not in his son, he's not going to select you. For many are called, that's everybody, but few are chosen. Few are selected. The elect. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about not every Jew, but the elected Jew, the ones he selected, the ones that come through his son. He's not changing that for them or anybody else. And my servant shall dwell there. Well, that means he ain't moving. I'm going to dwell where I'm at. I ain't moving again. I can tell you that, Jimmy. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks. Now, who's Sharon? Israel. Just another word for Israel. Shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in it for my people that have sought. Oh, there it is. There it is. But ye are they that... Oh, now we're back to Israel. Now we're back to the unelected, the unselected, the unchosen. But ye are that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy, my kingdom, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the... And ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called... an answer. When I spake, you wouldn't hear. What's that verse at the end of every letter in Revelation? At the end of every letter to every church, what's the last verse in every one of them? To him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Saith God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants. Who's the servants there? The elect. The ones he selected. They get to eat, the others starve. They get to drink, the others go thirsty. Why? Because God's sovereign. If God says that's how it is, folks, that's how it is. That may offend people. That may not be good to people's ears. But that's what God says. If you don't like it, take it up to him. Don't take it up with me. I can't change it. I'm not going to try. He says, he that addeth to, or he that taketh away from my word, I will add the plagues of this book to you. It's deadly serious. He don't want it changed. Why? Here's why. Kevin, you drive, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Probably dangerously, but you drive.
Pretty slow.
You're going down the road. Got the radio on. Got some gospel music on, I hope. Not that old country and western stuff. You're going down the road. You're just having a gay old time. Boy, I tell you what. Just can't wait till I get home. And you ain't paying a bit of attention. And you didn't see that sign. Bridge out ahead. And all of a sudden, I'm not trying to be funny now. All of a sudden, this guy pops up on your left. He's got this huge sign. And he's jumping up and down. He's waving. He's trying to get your attention. And his sign says, stop. Stop. The bridge is out. And you keep driving. And they read about you in the paper. Man went over the cliff because the bridge was out. And you stand before God. And you say, God, I didn't know. And he says, no, son. I gave you one sign that you wasn't paying any attention to. And even after you went by that where you wasn't paying any attention, I sent an old preacher. Got a little carried away. Holding up a sign. Jumping up and down. Tears coming down his eye. Trying to get you to stop. Folks, that's what this thing is. This world is headed where the bridge is out.
That's right. Yeah.
And we better have somebody stand in the gap, make up the hedge. We better have somebody stand on the wall, bless God, and start warning them.
Right.
Because the Bible says there's no fear before their eyes. And if we get these people up in pulpits telling everybody they're okay, that God is love. I'm going to tell you something. You take this to the bank, and I won't apologize for 1 second. We're loving people right into hell is what we're doing.
Yeah.
I'll cover that in just, I got to hurry. Okay. So then he goes on, and he says this. For he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of the truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes, for behold, I create new heavens. And a definitive article there, by the way, a new earth. These people that are gluing themselves and throwing soup on stuff better realize that's a good waste of soup and glue. They're not going to save anything. God's going to make it new.
Right.
Well, if he's going to make it new, that means he's going to get rid of it. You can glue yourself to whatever you want to glue yourself to. You can go back to the buggy and horse days. You ain't going to save this planet. What I say is enjoy it while you can. It's going away.
That's right.
So he says, for behold, I create new heaven, new earth, and the former things shall be remembered, nor come into mind. Here's what that says. You won't remember one thing about the curse of this earth. You won't remember that your loved ones died because of the curse. You won't remember that your loved ones were sick for years with some dreaded disease because of the curse. You won't remember any of that because it's going to be forgotten. You won't remember how pretty Hawaii looks at times because my new one will make it look like a trash dump. But he ain't talking to anybody but the elect there, folks. The rest of them won't even get to see it. All they're going to have is hot feet. They won't see it. They won't enjoy it. And they won't know it. Because you got to be in his kingdom to get his blessings and his benefits. Now, I got to go. Now, So then he comes on and he says, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, rejoicing in her people. He's not only going to make a new earth, he's going to make a new Jerusalem. Why would he make a new Jerusalem? Well, bless God, the elect. I want a good place to go to worship him, don't you? Well, you're going to get it. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall... Oh, there it is. Shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more fence, an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his day. No, here's what that says. They won't be no more babies. I don't know of anything more that would crush a parent than to have a baby die. He says, that won't be no more. And he says, you know what else? Bless God, the old men ain't going to die at 100 either. They ain't going to say they're old at 100 either. Now, think about that. Think, if we're going to have a 1,000-year millennial, and I shouldn't have said ill, because we're going to have a 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, today, we live 70 and by chance, you know, you get 80, right? Okay, so if 10% of 80, let's give you 80. I'm going to give you the benefit of that, Lynn. Think you're going to make it to 80. Let's say that you make it to 80. Now, what's 10% of 80? 8. Now, we call an 8-year-old a
child,
wouldn't we? Yeah. So, if you're going to live 1,000 years, then that means that 100-year-old is still a child. Dan. Well, hey, you're pushing it. I mean, I hate to be the one to break that to you, but you're pushing it. But you'll be a baby then. Now look, if you will, at very quickly. I got to go real quick. Now I'm just going to read, because I think I laid some groundwork, and I think this will be easy for you, and I want to cover this church at Philadelphia. Okay, here we go. All right, are you ready? I'm back in Revelation 3. Oh, mercy, I get held up in here. I tried to move you back, but...
Outline.
I don't even know what outline. I don't have an outline. And the angel of the church, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is. Listen, holiness is a requirement of God, folks. You don't make yourself holy. It's required of God to be holy. So what does that mean? Well, that means he'll have to make you holy. If it's a requirement and you can't do it yourself, you're going to have to go to the only one that can make you holy. Now, you don't act holy, right? You don't do holy things. You are holy. I mean, that's who you are. And then he says, and he that is
true.
Well, God just don't say truthful things. He's the embodiment of truth. That's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, he just doesn't give eternal life. He is eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Why? Because he's the life. You just get to be with him, therefore you've got it. So he says to him that's true. And to him that hath the key of
David.
We just read that. Remember? And he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man. So he's sovereign. That's who the letter's from, to this church. Well, let me tell you something this morning. That's who the letter's from to this church. This thing transcends time, folks. This letter may have been written thousands of years ago, but it's still good. There's no expiration date on the Word of God. For he says, my Word is forever settled in heaven. He says, for I am God. I change not. Well, if he don't change, his Word ain't going to change. So it transcends time. So it's as good to us today as it was to them. Oh, we're going to shout here in just a second. Now, I guarantee you, it's the first time, but we're going to shout. He says, I know thy works. I know everything you're doing. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I've saved you. Hallelujah. And ain't nobody can take that from you. You can't take it from you either. I opened that door, and I've got the key, and I ain't locking it back. I have set before thee this day an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. What do you think that means there? You think that means this strength? I shouldn't do that. No. No. Strength in numbers. We're little in strength here, folks. But I'd say that's not bad. Oh, I'd like to have a full house. I'd like to tear down walls and be greater. We'd still be few in strength. Because straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. And few be that find it. I don't want the large crowd for the large crowd's sake. I want the large crowd for heaven's sake. Boy, I'd like to see more into the house of God, the church of God, the family of God for their sake and for God's holy name. But we don't outnumber the world, folks. In any way. He said, for thou hast little strength. I've lost my place. There it is. For thou hast little strength and hast kept my word. That word kept, I've given it to you before, I'll give it to you again. It means to guard as valuable. You've secured my word in your heart because you see it valuable to you. He says, you have kept my word and hath not denied my name. Does he say this in another place? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Those three things go together for a reason. The little in strength is the ones who entered the straight gate. And because they've entered the straight gate, they value his word. Else they wouldn't have entered the straight gate. And they will in no way, shape, form, nor fashion deny his name. Why? He's in here. We forget that sometimes. God ain't up there, folks. God's in here. He dwells in here so that we keep everything about his word. It's not our faithfulness that will get us there. It's his.
Right.
It's not our abilities that will get us there. It's his.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We won't deny his name. Now, stay with me. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Paraphrase that for you. Satan's crowd. That bunch that say they belong to me, but they do lie. Now, why would he say that phrase? Why would that be in there? They that say they're Jews, first of all, that means they that say they belong to me, the people of God. And you hear that all the time. Well, we're all children of God. That's a lie, folks. I'm telling you right now, that lie, it'll send you to hell. Just sure as I'm standing here, it'll send you to hell. We're not all children of God. We're not all the elect. Only through Christ. Only through Christ. The reason he says they do lie is because the Bible defines what a liar is. In 1 John, he says this, who is a liar? But don't give him any more of this medicine you give him. Who is a liar but that he who denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Well, folks, if you think that those people in Israel today, and I say that with love for Israel, I love Israel. But if you think that for the majority of them, They think Christ is this Messiah. You've got rocks in your head. And they're not going. If you think these Gentiles in this country, for the most part, think they're saved because they get up in church every week and because they've got somebody in the pulpit that tells them how nice they are and God loves us all and we're all children of God, you've got rocks in your head. It don't work that way. And I'm going to show it to you. It's plain as day right here. Behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, and do lie. Behold, I will make them. Who's them? The ones that say they are and they're not. Now, some of how many of you in here got dogs? Anybody got dogs? Jesus. You better raise your hand. I know about you. My goodness. You're a volleyball coach with dogs.
Yep.
I know all about you. You know what a dog likes to do? I'm not a dog. But I've seen dogs. And you know what? If you put your hand down to a dog, what will it do? It licks a hand. That's what that word means. As a dog licking your hand. He says, all them liars. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to be funny now. He says, all them liars that say they belong to me. Bless God, I'm going to make them come down and bow before you and lick your hand. And they will know one thing. You better listen to me. Don't you run out here and say I teach heresy. They will know one thing. That I have loved you. I'm going to tell you what. If you're outside Christ, God don't love you. You say, but God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is love. You outside his son, you'll never know it. You'll never experience it. He says, I'm going to make them know that I loved you. In the first chapter, he says, who washed us and loved us. I knew you'd get it. Who washed us and loved us. Well, folks, those go together. If he ain't washed you, he can't love you. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look. That's his word. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. He don't see you. If you're outside his son, he don't see you. He don't love you. He can't love you. But if you'll come his way, boy, you'll experience the greatest love. He says, greater love hath no man than a man would lay down his life for. But you've got to do it his way. You've got to do it his way. That's why I didn't make that up. Is that not what that says? And they will know that I have loved thee. They're going to know that. And then he goes on to say this. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Somebody guess. I want you to guess what you think the word of my patience means there. Quickly, I'm running out of time. Okay, I ain't got time. Here's what that means. The word of my patience simply means my promise that I'm coming. And you've kept it. You guarded it. Are we not looking for the Lord, folks? Yeah. Listen, if you ain't looking for the Lord, you ain't saved. I don't care. You ain't saved if you ain't looking for him. Because the Holy Spirit's inside. And if you think the Holy Spirit ain't saying, oh, even so, come Lord Jesus. Yeah. Behold, he said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, because you've looked for me, you've longed for me, you've loved my appearing, I'll keep you. What are you going to keep me from, Lord? Well, I'll keep you from the temptation which is to come upon all the world and to try them that dwell upon the... I'll call them the dog lickers. You don't dwell on this earth, Jimmy, if you're in Christ. The Bible says that you have been made to sit in heavenly places, and that you are fellow citizens with the saints. Bless God, this ain't your home. He says we're in this world, but there ain't nothing of us of it. Why? You've been moved out of here, brother. We forget that sometimes. Oh, we forget we ain't here. Oh, bless God, we're there. You say, Tom, I see you. No, you don't. You see this body, but you don't see me. God says I'm there. Why? Because his word says I was going to be there. And when his word says it, that's it. Ain't going to be changed. He says not going to change it. That's how it is. You've been made to sit in heavenly places. But he says to them that wanted this earth, I'm going to take them into trial. And you won't be one of them people that stands up and says, not guilty, Your Honor. You won't open your mouth. Because the judge of all the earth is going to pronounce guilty and sentence. He is both judge, jury, and executioner. So he says this. Now I got to quit. I got to go. He says, behold, I come quickly, and hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Here's what he says, and that's paraphrased in my words. What I've promised you, what I've told you I'm going to do for you, I'm going to give you a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to give you a place where the curse is gone. There'll be no sickness, no sadness, no sorrow. Bless God, you're going to dwell with me forever. He says, what I promised you, you stick it in there, and don't you let anybody get it away from you. We sing a song, hold to God's unchanging hand. We sing a song, standing on the promises of God. Let me tell you something, folks. The church at Philadelphia is representative of the true church. If you're not in the church of Philadelphia, you better get right with God. Because not one condemnation is given to that church. They're His. I'm His. I heard a song this morning. I tell you, I'm going to get it for Amy. I don't know if she'll sing it, but I'm going to get it. I know I'll be there. Karen Peck, look it up. If it don't lift you up, there's something wrong with you. Well, I'm done. Goodbye.